St. Mark, the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. I want to take a thought right along there. Time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. I'd like to say this first of all. People who don't understand, a lot of times they don't mean any wrong, but they try to make a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven by saying that you can say the kingdom of God's within you, but not the kingdom of heaven. But according to the scriptures, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are identically the same thing. In one place, it will use the terms the kingdom of God. In another place, it will use the terms the kingdom of heaven. I want to dwell on a thought here for a few minutes. I read to you where it said the kingdom of God is at hand. I want you to see the difference tonight. As I talk to you just a few minutes, I want you to see the difference tonight in the way that Jesus ministered and in the way that the Pharisees and scribes ministered. I want you to see the difference in the way that Jesus ministered and the difference in the way that the ministry of today goes about it. And I want to try to drop in a thought that will let you know or let you see, if you can really fathom it, really understand it, let you see how far off the chiefest of the ministry of today is, really is, when it comes to the real, genuine truth of Christ. Now, Jesus preached that the kingdom of God is at hand. The Bible said that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Is that right? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No way. When we think of going to heaven, I say again to you, as I've said in the past to you, the first thing that we think of is being raptured away, caught away, and taken up into some realm that's way up above the earth. We've been taught those kind of things. We've been taught that the Lord will suddenly appear in heaven and in the clouds, and the clouds shall suddenly break forth. Like I had a vision one time. I was riding down the road, and all of a sudden I looked up, and a great big pillary cloud, like little hot pokers just coming through everywhere, like you take a hot poker and touch it to a snow a great big white snowy bank, and it would just penetrate through just like that. I saw, looked like hundreds and thousands of them at one time, penetrating this great snowy bank of cloud. And as I looked, they turned into angelic beings. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of them, and doing all of this, I throw my brakes, I jumped out of my car, and jumped over to the side of the car and threw up my hand because I knew it was the coming of the Lord. Right in the very midst of it, I looked, and the Lord, high and lifted up on His throne, broke through in the midst of all of those angels. The coming of the Lord, the way that we look for it, is some natural event, some great turn of event. We always look for God in some great natural way, in some great calamity, or some great outstanding thing that's going to take place. And that's why we miss the things of God. The Bible said that God has hid these things. I want you to see this. If God has hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent, because the Bible said man looketh on the outward appearance, if He's hid these things, then tell me, how is it that God is going to come back in a way that man will be able to tell what's going on? The Bible said that every eye shall see Him. I realize that. And John also said, they that pierced Him shall narrowly look upon Him. I know that. In the book of Revelation, it said, those that nailed Him to Calvary shall see Him. But you got to understand what He's saying. I know the Lord is coming back to the Jewish nation and to the Jewish people and to the people of the world in a natural way, to where they can see God, that is, in a natural sense. I know that. But that will never be to the bride of Christ. It can never be to the church. That's not God's way to come to the church. The Bible said He would come like a thief in the night. If He comes and break forth in the heavens where everybody can see Him, you couldn't say that was like a thief in the night. And the Bible said they that crucified Him shall look upon Him. How can they look upon Him when He comes? They're already dead. They're gone. You've got to understand what He's saying. But see, when Jesus came preaching, the Jews said, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Lord, will You come in and set up a kingdom and You become a great king and let us become Your subjects? Will You do this? And Jesus told them, He said, the kingdom of God doesn't come that way. You got the wrong understanding. You haven't received the doctrine of Christ. All you've got is an intellectual concept through a typical means that you've been taught in types and shadows. Paul said allegories. But he said the kingdom of God doesn't come like that. And he told them so expressively, so precisely. He said the kingdom of God is on the inside of a human being. But you know what? When we think of the kingdom of God being on the inside of a human being, we say, you know, we don't express it by vocal utterance, but our state of being expresses it. That just takes all the spark out of everything. Because here we are looking for some natural thing to come along, and we don't get to see it. But it doesn't take the spark out at all. As a matter of fact, it puts more spark in. I don't understand why that we can't tell that the coming of the Lord is in that manner. Paul said all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things that are around us, the things that we see. Look at the light bulb. The light doesn't come from the outside to the light bulb. It comes from the inside and goes outside through the light bulb. Look at the gasoline in an automobile. It doesn't come from the outside. It works through the engine. and gives the power from within. Look at the motor on the inside of the car. It's under the hood. It's concealed. Everything that God does shows that God is the invisible spirit coming as a little grain of mustard seed, as a tiny little thing within the heart, like a babe being born in the womb, like a little grain of wheat dropping into the ground and springing forth, like a little acorn from little acorns big trees grow. Everything springing from within, isn't that right? Life springing from within, always springing from within. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of life, the kingdom understanding. That's why a lot of people don't know about God and they don't understand God. They're looking for God out here in a natural realm somewhere. But God is springing up from the inside. The Bible said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. That you draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. We are wells of salvation. Out of the kingdom of God within you. The kingdom of God is on the inside of a human being. Jesus said the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. You don't observe it like science do with their great towers of observation. They observe the stars. They observe the whole galaxies. They break it down. But Jesus said the kingdom of God doesn't come like that. He said, let me tell you about the kingdom of God. He said, what shall I liken it to? He said, a grain of mustard seed. He said, a pearl that was found in a field. Are you listening? What shall I liken the kingdom of God to? Jesus said, what can I preach a sermon from? What kind of natural thing that you're acquainted with can I reach back and get that will open your understanding and let you know that God is a spirit and that he springs forth from within? For the Lord shall suddenly come into his temple to be glorified in his saints. And I will make them come and kneel at your feet and know that I have loved you. What does this mean to us, folks? I'm going to get around to it in a few minutes. Just exhort you a little bit. But what does it mean to us to recognize that the kingdom of God is within a human being? That the kingdom of God lives on the inside of a human being. Like Ezekiel said, the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Something living inside of us, walking inside of us, something that's with us. What is it? It's the love of God. It's God's Spirit. It's the invisible Jehovah himself tabernacling in a human body. That's why they were so confounded in the days of Jesus. They kept looking for God. They kept looking for the kingdom of God. And this Jesus, everywhere Jesus went, something would happen. And they'd run over there and they thought the kingdom of God was over there. But as soon as Jesus left, it was dry and desolate. And then something would happen over here. And they couldn't figure it out. They'd run over here and they thought, well, here is the kingdom of God. Look at all these great things happening. Jacob said, here's a stone. It must be the gateway to heaven. I'll anoint this pillar right here. Isn't that right? And they just run to and fro everywhere, the kingdom of God. But then when Jesus would go over another place there, the kingdom of God would start again. And they were confounded. They couldn't understand what was going on. The prophets of old done great miracles. What is it? They couldn't find it because it was inside of Jesus. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Pine. Well, tell me one thing. The Bible said that he was the fullness of God. Is that right? He was the fullness of God. The Bible said the Spirit of God was given to Jesus without measure. Isn't that right? The Bible said when Jesus prayed, his prayers returned into his own bosom. Is that right? It had to return into his own bosom. Couldn't go anywhere else because God was in his bosom. He was the only God there was. He's still the only God there is. He said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the kingdom of God. I've come to you, folks. And the Bible said, in the fullness of time, here come John the Baptist saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Old brother John began to preach and said, folks, it's time to get your crooked paths straight now. It's time to get your heart straightened out. Now why? He said, because there's one coming behind me, said, whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He said, he's got the kingdom of God within him. He's the old lamplighter from the faraway hills that lighted life's pitcher to give your heart a thrill. Hallelujah. He's going to go about lighting little lights. And then after he gets through, he's going to take a trip and go away. But he's going to light up all the candles before he does, that he can leave a church called the light of the world. This Jesus preached. The kingdom of God is here. A man came to him and talked to him. And because he answered real discreetly, Jesus looked at him and said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And old brother Peter said, I know who you are. He said, who are you? I know who you are, Peter said. You're the Christ. Jesus said, that's the key. That's the key, Peter. Now you've discovered me, I'm the door. You've discovered me, I'm the door. Hallelujah. What have you got to say about it, Peter? And he told him, he said, you got the key, just unlock the door. Hallelujah. And so they took him to Calvary and rent the veil and unlocked the door. And the door was open in heaven that John saw. Never before. But the kingdom of God was at hand. Why? The time was fulfilled. How beautiful. Great Bible scholars of that day and still of this day don't know what he was saying. The time is fulfilled. John said the time is fulfilled. Jesus said the time is fulfilled. What do you mean, Jesus, the time is fulfilled? He said, at last it's happened. All that the prophets wrote about, at last is taking place. Everything that they ever said would happen, he said, I've come to fulfill it. I've come, Jesus said, that you might have life in great abundance, filled up and overflowing. At last the time is fulfilled. He said, the kingdom of God is not far away anymore. He said, it's right here at hand. Handle it. Reach out and touch it. The kingdom of God today is still at hand. But some of you don't have it. You know why? Because the Bible said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You're too fleshly minded. You're too carnally minded. You've got too much reason. You've got too much plans of your own. You've got too much of yourself in the way. But the kingdom of God is still right here, ain't you? The Bible said repent and hear the gospel. Believe the gospel. And the Bible said God began to translate men into the kingdom. How did he do it? How did he do it? He translated them into the kingdom by faith. The thing that I spoke of at the first of the service. By faith in God, he translated them into the kingdom of God. Today, he's still translating them into the kingdom of God. The Bible said that Enoch was translated by faith. Why? That he might not see death. He was translated by faith that he might not see death. Today we've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. Tonight I stand here in the kingdom of God. Because I've been translated into the kingdom of God, I stand here tonight as a subject of the kingdom. I stand here tonight to witness to you as one that's been translated into the marvelous kingdom of the eternal God. Somebody said, but you could be mistaken. Faith doesn't mistake things. If I stand here and testify of it, if I stand here and believe it in my intellectual, that doesn't mean a thing. But if there's a conviction in my heart that I pass from death unto life and I'm in the kingdom of God, my brother, I want you to know that I'm in the kingdom. I've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. His spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I am a son of God. Jesus said the time is fulfilled. What does it mean when you say the time is fulfilled? What does it mean the time is fulfilled? The kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled.
because the kingdom of God is at hand. Where is the kingdom of God? He said flesh and blood can't inherit it. You take spirit to inherit spirit. Paul said, I would that you be spiritual, that you may inherit the spirit. You got to be spiritual. You got to be spiritual. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It takes spirit to inherit spirit. It takes spirit to inherit spirit. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It can't inherit. A lot of people say, someday I'm going to sweep through the pearly gates. I want you to know that the kingdom of God is an inheritance that you receive by faith from God in a human body. It is something that comes from God, and it comes down in a human body, and you receive it into your human body, and by faith you're translated into the marvelous kingdom of the living God. Somebody would say, well, how do I know that I'm in there? You want me to tell you how? Because you're full of love. You're full of peace. Serving God is joy. Peace, righteousness, meekness, kindness, gentleness, patience, long-suffering, all of these things. You got the Spirit of God in you. You got the nature of Christ in you. You got something that's running over from within. Your tree is bearing fruit. You're planted by the river of waters. And your leaves never wither. Hallelujah. Like a tree planted by the river of living waters. And your leaves are for the healing of the nation. And your fruits never wither. You bring forth your fruit. You've got fruits of the Spirit. Not as the tree of knowledge, not as the tree of evil, but the tree of life. When people eat from you, they don't get the warped, twisted up concept of some college degree. They don't get the understanding of some intellectual thing that you figured out or brought down from grandma and granddaddy. But the spiritual word of God, a tree of life that's springing up. Hallelujah. Something that's overflowing and coming out. David said, my cup runs over and everybody gets a drink of it. A tree of life giving forth the fruits of the Spirit. Joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering, understanding of God. All the virtues of Christ Jesus. You know why it does that? Because a tree produces according to whatever the roots are in. And these trees are planted by the river of life, and they feed from the water of the river of life, and that water comes up into the branches, and from those branches comes the water of life, the Spirit of life. Trees of life in the earth. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody said, I wonder what the tree of life was in the garden. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. How many believe that you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? That's the only tree of life in the earth tonight is you. You that are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. If you eat of this tree, you'll never die. Jesus said, drink of this water and you'll live forever. This well of salvation. Come here and get you some water. The lady said, I want some water here. Jesus said, that's good, but if you drink that water, said, you're going to get thirsty again. He said, but this well, talking about himself. Said, if you drink out of this well, if you eat from this tree of life, if you build on this rock, Peter. Is that right? Hallelujah. Water from this well, he said, let me give you one drink and you won't never get thirsty no more. Hallelujah. I took one swallow of that water and I've never thirsted again since that day. Amen. It satisfied me completely. Some of you wander from pillar to post and wander from one worldly thing to another and from one gossiping tongue to another and from one evil deed to another, one covetous thing of the world to another, because you've never got a drink of that water. You're wandering through dry places seeking a drink and can't find it. You're wandering through dry places. Your spirit is wandering through the dry places where the waters are not and you can't find satisfaction. But I found the well of living water. We sang the song, the well of living water. I found the well of living water. I drank from the well, and I've never been thirsty again. It's been a well of eternal life springing up within me and quenching the thirst. And I've never been thirsty again. Hallelujah. That makes me feel good. And he said, the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. What does it mean that the time is fulfilled? From the time of the fulfillment. That meant Calvary had come. That meant that B.C. was behind us. And A.D. was ahead of us. That meant that we crossed over the bridge of strife. That meant that death was completely swallowed up in victory. That meant that we were free from every evil and every condemnation, folks. I'm sure that you don't understand what Calvary means. You don't know what it means when you say the time is fulfilled. The Jews never understood what it meant. God blinded them in part. They didn't understand. Isn't that right? They never knew what God meant when he said the time is fulfilled. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What did it mean? What did it mean? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Isn't it wonderful to be partakers of the kingdom of the living God? Father, thy kingdom come on this earth. Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven, Father. Can't inherit the kingdom of God. Those that are carnal minded, that's flesh and blood. You can't inherit the spiritual things of God. You can't inherit the peace. You can't inherit the happiness. You can't inherit the prosperity of the saints. You can't inherit the faith that comes from Jesus Christ, the faith by which you're sanctified. Is that right? But he said the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at last coming to the world. I said, who are you, Jesus? I'm that Ark of the Covenant that Moses carried. I'm God's real Ark of the Covenant. I'm that Ark of Noah that survived the raging waters of the wrath of God. As they poured down out of heaven and he rose to the top of Mount Calvary. And a door was opened to a new world. Is that right? Beat fiercely down upon it, but it survived. It survived. Jesus said, I'm that way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm that door that Peter opened in heaven. The time is at hand. He said you can inherit the kingdom of God if you want to. But it takes spirit to inherit spirit. Flesh and blood can't inherit what I'm talking about, Jesus said. Said you're looking for it by observation. Why, there won't never be one like that. He said the kingdom of God will never be seen with the eye. It'll never come by observation. For the Bible said they endured it seeing him who was invisible. He was the invisible God that walked the earth and the prophets walked with him. The prophets walked with the invisible God. Today God is still the invisible God. Paul said he's the God whom no man has ever seen. Moses never saw him. Abraham didn't see him. Nobody ever saw him. The Bible said no man has seen God at any time. That's in Moses' time, Abraham's time, every other time. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said Adam saw him. The Bible said the Lord walked in the garden in the cool of the evening. The Bible said the Lord talked with Moses. The Bible said the Lord appeared to Abraham. There's only one way to see God. That's through the Lord. That's through the membership of his body. That's why he's coming back into his flesh and bones. He's coming back in his flesh and bones. That he might reveal the kingdom of God from within humanity to the world. A light. A city that all the nations will have to walk in. Lively stones built up into a holy priesthood. And him upon the throne of her heart. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pine? I mean that there is a difference between his bones and flesh and humanity's bones and flesh. He's called the quickening spirit. His body is the quickening spirit that inherits spirit. But your blood, your flesh, it won't inherit spiritual things. The Bible said it's a terrestrial that must be changed to a celestial. the image of the earthly that must change to the image of the heavenly. Is that right? There has to be a change. There has to be a new birth. You have to come into a new world. Old things have to pass away, and behold, all things have to become new. For Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. What is it? The time is fulfilled. He said, now, children of God, the kingdom is here. He said, don't be afraid. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. You know, ever since that day, even unto this present day, preachers are still preaching to the church, saying, don't fear, little flock. It's God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the preacher says, just be faithful, and one day it's coming. That wasn't what Jesus meant. Jesus said, it's thy Father's good pleasure right now for you to be translated into the kingdom of God and for you to inherit the kingdom of God right now. It's God's good pleasure right now, children of God, for you to have the kingdom of God this very night. And they shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. It's a possession. You have to inherit it. How can I inherit it, Brother Pike? How can I take it? By submitting yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Word of God, by constant submission, by constant surrender, by constantly breaking down your willpower, your outside man, your human desires, your fleshly passions, by submitting until finally the faith of Jesus Christ, which is the kingdom of God, will develop in your heart, and you'll have the power to do what you want to do. The Bible said, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. It was the faith of Enoch that translated him into the marvelous liberties of the sons of God. For the creature itself, that's your body, it shall also be delivered or transformated or changed into the glorious liberties of the sons of God. For the creature groaneth. Not that we should be unclothed, that is, lose this body, but rather clothed upon with the body from heaven. What does it mean when the time is fulfilled? It meant that the benefits of God to the Christian was then at hand. It means that from the time that Jesus spilt his blood at Calvary, everything that your heart ever wished for has become yours. It means that there's no more poverty to you. It means there's no more death to you. It means there's no more sorrow to you. It means there's nothing that Satan can do to you anymore. The old world has passed away. The new world is here. Somebody would say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, you must be crazy. No, I'm not crazy. The man thought Paul was crazy. Paul said, this is not crazy talk. This is the kingdom of God. You inherit it by faith. You change into it by faith. You do everything by faith. Christ did the works. We do the believing. By faith. Is that right? The husband purchases and the woman moves in and possesses. Are you listening? Ever since the day of Calvary, there was no need for another man to be planted in the sod. There was never a need for any little child to ever scream in death again. As it passed out of this world, there's never been another reason why a mother had to surrender up her darling baby since Calvary. Jesus told them preachers, he said, I finished the work. Everything is done. The devil is conquered. He's destroyed, and hell is conquered, and death is conquered. And go preach deliverance to the people. Is that right? Preach to the people. Cast out the devil, he said. And said, them people that are dead, get them up out of the grave. Death is past, it's gone. Jesus said, raise the dead. Why would he say that? Because it was all over. It was gone. No more death, no more sickness, no more poverty, no more insanity, no more perplexity, no more trouble in spirits. No more sin. No more nothing for the devil. He was gone, finished, all of his works. Balled up, taken away. And in. Did you know every time the devil jumps on a Christian, that means that the Christian has allowed him to do that through unbelief? Do you know these fears and perplexities and bondages that you have? Do you realize that you're believing Satan into strength by unbelief? Did you know that fear is faith in reverse, believing them things into effect in your body? Somebody said, I'm just afraid, I'm going to think it. That's all it takes is that little fear. That's faith in reverse, believing him into his strength. That's faith in reverse, believing him into power. I just can't help but think, and I'm trying, but am I? Here you go. It's that fear, that expectation that's developed in your heart through fear that caused you to do it. But take it the other way. Start believing no. Christ said it. I believe it. I'm not believing anything the devil said to trouble me. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be afraid. He said, you got power over the devil. You heal the sick. You cleanse the leper. You raise the dead. You keep your heart from being troubled. Isn't that right? You go preach deliverance. You go help other folks. You lay hands on the sick. Am I telling the truth of that Bible? The time is fulfilled. The time is at hand. It's done. Jesus said it's finished. Somebody said when Brother Branham come, it finished it. Somebody said when Brother Pike come, it finished it. Somebody said when Brother so-and-so come, it finished it. Jesus finished it at Calvary. I'm just telling you about it. Do you realize tonight, and this is the truth, that the church could have been translated immediately after Calvary? Somebody say, I don't believe it. Well, how was Enoch translated before Calvary? Somebody said, oh, wait a minute. I don't understand that. Somebody said, you mean to tell me that Enoch was translated before Calvary? No, I said that for your human understanding's sake. Nobody was ever translated before Calvary. There's never been a human being that was ever translated before Calvary. Calvary was in the foreknowledge of God before the world ever was. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Anybody that's translated is translated as a result of Calvary. But Enoch caught a vision, and he saw that there wasn't any need waiting for the Lamb to come to be crucified. God had already slain him in his mind. All he had to do was believe. Oh, Brother Abraham did the same thing. Abraham believed God. The Bible said it was imputed unto him as righteousness 430 years before the law ever came. You love the Lord? I'm going to close in just a few minutes. I just want to get over a thought to you tonight for the benefit of them that want benefits. David said, forget not all of his benefits. Some people have fits but don't know nothing about benefits. The time is fulfilled. It's fulfilled. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, I thought in this day and age you're supposed to have a brand new subject, a brand new message. You're supposed to bring us something here that's brand spanking new. What could I ever tell you outside of what he's already done? There is nothing brand new about the gospel. It's the same age-old story that's always been. Is that ever since Jesus said the kingdom of God is here, that men have from that time been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God through faith. And tonight I'm one of those men, and I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm not waiting for the kingdom of God. I'm not waiting to be translated into the kingdom of God. I'm already in the kingdom of God. I am already in the kingdom of God. Somebody said, ain't that cute? That really sounds good, don't it? I mean, that sounds good, you know. That's cute. Brother Pike's in the kingdom of God. You know, like a bunch of kids with colors, you know, and crayons. They got a color book. What I'm saying is a living reality. I am already in the kingdom of God. Somebody said, that's good faith. And Brother Pike, if you keep believing like that, now when the Lord comes and the kingdom of God comes, he's going to take you right in. He's not going to take me in when he comes, because I'm already in it. As a matter of fact, when he comes back, I'll be coming with him. Revelation 19, if you don't believe it, read it. God's not going to take me in the kingdom of God. I'm already in the kingdom of God. The Bible said, for God hath translated me into his kingdom. Since that time, men have pressed their way into the kingdom of God. When you're in the kingdom of God, my brother, you can't be in the kingdom of the world. If you're in God, you can't be in the world. If you're in Christ, you can't be down here in the human mind. I'm in another mind. I'm in another world. I'm in another body. I'm in the body of Christ. I've got another mind, another world, another body. Everything is different. That's why I sing the song, "Everything's Gonna Be All Right." I believe it's gonna be all right. Everything works together for good to them that love the Lord. It don't make no difference what it is. But I want you to know tonight that the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is already at hand. Men are already being translated into the kingdom of God. God's will's already being done on earth as in heaven. Already. Because ever since the day of Calvary, there was no more devil. There was no more heartache. There was no more sickness. There was no more death. There was no more poverty, no more troubles. No more evil. Since Calvary, there was no more. There was no more. Somebody said, "Well, I sure do see a lot of it for it not to be anymore." Well, why don't you get out of the hog pen and come on home? You don't have to live out there in the stink. Get up. The prodigal son got up. Shake the mud off of you and come on home. We use the song, "I'm Coming Home." Get out of it. Come on home. You can be up here too. You can be in the kingdom of God too. Like the vision, you can see these things that we're looking at in heaven too. You can see it too if you want to. There is no such thing as a devil anymore to a Christian. I hope you can get this. I know this don't register some of you. Some of you think, "Well, Brother Pike, he's just done flipped his lid." What I'm telling you is absolutely the truth. It ain't something I sat down and figured out and put together and made it sound good and hope that it'll work. It's absolutely thus saith the Lord. It's God. It's God. Every bit of it that I'm preaching to you tonight is Christ. We have passed from the world of death into the world of life. We pass from death unto life. We should never die again. This generation doesn't have to die. Somebody say, "Brother Pike, I believe they do. They don't have to die." Jesus said, "I've made you gods, but you die like men because of unbelief." You're God's. God don't have to die. How can Christ die again? He's resurrected to die no more. You say that you're the body of Jesus Christ. You think he's going to die again? If you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, do you think that's going to die again? Do you think your body's going to die again? Why did Christ die? The whole purpose of Calvary is so that humanity wouldn't have to die. But nobody could believe it. Enoch took hold of it. Saw it before knowledge, and he took hold of it. God revealed it to him. Old brother Elijah took hold of it. Moses took hold of it. Others down through the ages have taken hold of it, but what about us? Faith in Christ. We don't have to die. The days of funerals are over. Somebody said, "Now wait a minute, you're crazy. They'll put you in a padded cell." I'm sure that they would if they could get their hands on me. I hope I'll be like Elijah and outrun the wheels of Jezebel. But it's a true fact. People, I know they're putting them in caskets, but they don't have to put them in caskets anymore. The days of caskets are over. It's because of unbelief that men die. Somebody said because of sin, because of unbelief. Christ done away with sin at Calvary. If a man believe in Calvary, he don't have to die. Jesus said, "He that heareth my words and believeth on my words is passed from death unto life." Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery, that somebody's going to discover that the days of caskets are over." Somebody said, "Well, I believe that, Brother Pike, but them things are so far out of my reach. I know that. I'll just out there to put me in a casket." Well, bless your heart, you need to shake yourself a little bit and get up out of the dust and start believing in a different direction. You poor thing. Just sit there and unbelieve. Go right on, die right on, and go to hell. They just won't put you in a casket. They'll put you in hell too. What makes you think that you got enough faith to keep you out of hell if you ain't got enough to keep you out of a casket? Come on, folks. It's time that God's people begin to believe in eternal life. Jesus gave us eternal life. Somebody said, well, that ain't got nothing to do with the body, but it does have something to do with the body. The same faith that I'm preaching tonight is what's going to bring him right here on the scene. And I believe it. And it's bringing him on the scene. I believe it. Same faith. Somebody said, well, we're just waiting for that time. We're just waiting for that time. I preach to you tonight. The time's already here. For the time is fulfilled. For the time is fulfilled. Everything the prophet said, it came to pass. That was the fulfillment of it. Today we don't have to die. It's already fulfilled. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born under the law, made of a woman, or born of a woman, made under the law. God in the fullness of time. And because it was the fullest time, Jesus began to preach, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at last come. Repent ye, believe the gospel, and let God translate you into the kingdom of God, to where you'll never have to die anymore. I'm going to say this in close. You may never enjoy the inheritance of the saints. You may never enjoy healing, satisfaction, freedom from worry, and freedom from trouble, and freedom from sickness, and freedom from death, and freedom from poverty, and freedom from all these other things. But it still belongs to you now. When Jesus Christ comes and literally sets his foot on the earth in a human body, you'll have no more benefits, not one more than you have already. If the literal human encasement that walked the earth in the days of Christ, if it stood here tonight, it could do no more for you than it's already done. Not one thing could it do. By your faith tonight, you can have exactly the same thing if the human encasement was here itself tonight. Not one bit of difference. Not one bit of difference. We keep waiting for some great thing to take place, but it don't come by observation. You can keep looking, but you'll never see it. You can keep looking, but you'll never see it. The Jews kept looking, but they never seen it. And finally, God cast them out of his presence. They looked and they looked and they looked and they looked, but they never did see it. The Gentiles have done the same thing. Why? Because God is a spirit. Everything he does is invisible. The invisible God working through the man to manifest himself in a visible way in the outer body of your humanity. You understand with me? That's why we go to church. We can be church members. We can pay our tithes. We can be good neighbors. But brother, that isn't going to do anything for your heart. There's got to be a spirit of God springing up within you, coming up in your heart, that's going to clean your mind up and clean your soul up and clean the filthy thoughts away and wash it down the drain and mellowize you and convert you and cause you to think right, talk right, act right, be right, and desire right. If that hasn't come on the inside of you, you've never been born again. A babe can be born dead in the womb. It's called a stillbirth. But if it's got life, there's something on the inside of it that makes it kick its feet, that makes it say goo. There's something on the inside of the spiritual babe that causes him to move. There's something on the inside of a spiritual babe that's springing up into everlasting life. You understand what I'm saying? The time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled, for in the fullness of time. This is the fullness of time. The time is fulfilled. What are we going to do about it, folks? Contend for the faith. contend for the faith. Get in there and get the benefits of it. Get in there and mean business. Get in there with God and lay everything else aside and put everything else secondary and say, God, I thought all these years that I had to fast 30 days and I thought I had to pray about 2 months without getting up off my knees. And Lord, I thought I had to go to church every time without ever missing a service. And Lord, I thought I had to live 40 years without ever even making one mistake before I could ever have these things and do these things. No, that's why Jesus died. It's yours for the believing. It's yours for the believing. It don't make any difference what it is. The believers lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. The believers can raise the dead. The believers can open the blind eyes. The believers can unstop the deaf ears. God has allowed the thing that was done at Calvary to be in darkness until the coming in of the Jews. When he blinded the Jews and cut them off in darkness, it meant that the human encasement or the body in which Christ dwelt was blinded until the end time of what he had done at the fullness of time. But now then the veil is coming off, the Jew is coming back in, and it means the redemption of the body. He just done that. He blinded the Jew so that the outer encasement of your inner man might be blinded, that the body might not receive the knowledge into it and be changed or redeemed until he had time to finish his work with the Gentiles and build his kingdom as big as he wanted it by new birth. But now that we're at the end of the way, we recognize what Calvary was. We recognize what was done at Calvary. We recognize the book of Revelation was written about Calvary. And the human encasement, which is the Jew coming in, is the outer man accepting the fact that the days of caskets are over. That with the coming of the Jew, it's a redemption of the body. Which means that we shall not all sleep. I'm going to accept mine. You can do whatever you want to with yours. I'm accepting mine. I'm accepting it. Just the way he said it, that's the way that I believe it. Hallelujah. That's the way that I believe it. Let's sing a little song together. Don't worry anymore. Don't fret anymore. Don't be sad anymore. Rejoice forevermore. Don't worry about dying anymore. Don't worry about your loved ones dying anymore. Don't worry about poverty anymore. No kind of sickness, no kind of disillusion. Don't worry about storms and earthquakes and famines anymore. Don't worry about anything anymore. Just go on your way rejoicing. Thank God that because he said it, it's true. At last you made it. At last it's over. At last everything's behind you. At last you got to where you wanted to go. At last you're what you always wanted to be. Somebody said, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Never been more sane in my life. Know exactly what I'm saying. It's absolutely the truth all the way. The Bible said, he that can receive it, let him receive it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to the invisible Spirit must believe there is an invisible Spirit. Must believe that God is, that is, that he does exist. Must really believe that, not in your head, but in your heart. You must really believe it. He that cometh to God must believe that God is. That is, that he is existent. Must believe that in your heart. And must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What kind of rewarder? With every promise in the book that is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I'm trusting in the word divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I'm trusting in the word divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Sing it again. Every promise in the book